There's one word that I learned this week, and I've been saying it a lot because it's easy to remember. Remember, we come to each other sometimes and go, ta-da. You'll never forget it now. Ta-da. Thank you. In Hebrew, it's thank you. So ta-da. Ta-da, Yehovah. Ta-da, Yehovah. Thank you, Father. We're back at Shabbat. Shalom. We're back on Shabbat, and I've been doing some studies and research this week because we've been commended to context, history, context, and language, history, language, and context. And I've been studying real intently in the book of Isaiah this week. I've been looking at Isaiah, and you know, we come here on Shabbat, and we come up and we read Isaiah 11, "Arise, shall come forth from the stump of Yishai," and we say that whole part, and we talk about the word. We talk about he's going to bring forth his word, righteousness, the girdle of his loins, trustworthiness will be the girdle of his waist. We say that and we use that. But it's not until you really dig deep into the book of Isaiah and see what's really going on at the time. Remember, we got to go back in history. It's not just, you know, you got to go back into the history of it. And Isaiah, when you start looking at all the things that was happening to Judah at the time. And we sang this song because Isaiah, at a young age in his 20s, maybe early 30s, he gets to a place where he's going to the temple like he normally regularly does. And at that time, when you read Isaiah, you got to go read like chapter 1, and it tells you what's going on at that time in chapter 1, how the widows and how bribery and how all these crooked, wrong things, and the rich is overriding the poor and doing all these things. But when you read chapter 1, it brings you to the time, what's going on at the time. But Isaiah, in chapter 6, he comes to the temple. And when he comes to the temple, he gets to see something that's bigger than he is. He gets to behold. And we learn in that word in the text with Yaakov, Chene is the hey, and it's the noon. Hey is the behold, and the noon is continuously. And so in the garden, they were always chene, continuously looking up to the Father with this tree. This is the tree of life. But this tree doesn't look up to the Father. This tree relies on self. And so when you're reading through the book and you're seeing all the kings, instead of relying on Yehovah, they start relying on their self or trying to do like our world does today, try and side somebody to build a bigger empire to rule and reign, to have power. And they do it by murdering and killing and always putting somebody or stomping somebody underneath their feet to get it. And that comes from this tree of self. And Yehovah, when you read in it, he tells them through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah becomes a mouthpiece. When you read it, he said, "I'm a man with unclean lips." That just gives you the start before you're already reading about Isaiah. He's a mouthpiece for Yehovah. He's a mouthpiece. And when he says, "Hene, here I am," he says, "I'm ready to go and do whatever you want me to do, whenever, however, speak whatever it is." And then, you know, when you come to Christ for the first time, or you become a minister, like we got something big that's going to happen tomorrow. We have some ministers that's going to be ordained. And they're going to be a mouthpiece. And when you read in Isaiah, you know, you would think, okay, Isaiah, he's like, I get to become this mouthpiece. But the next words that Yehovah tells him, it's not going to be a revival. It's going to go through devastation. People's going to be slaughtered. Things are going to happen bad. The kings are going to be pulled down. They're not going to listen because they mix and they do things that I say not to do. And they put my name on top of it. When you read in Isaiah, he says, they put his name on top of it. They come to the temple, they worship like they're worshiping, but then they go back and they hurt all the people and put them under, you know, under rules and regulations and really puts a bind on them, puts them in slavery, basically, to do whatever they want. And so when I was going through this, a couple of Wednesdays ago, we talked about King Hezekiah. And I read about Hezekiah, and Hezekiah picked up all the ruins. Everything that his father Ahaz had put into ruins by selling to Assyria and giving away to Assyria. And so when he gets in there, he rebuilds it and he puts it all back together the way it's supposed to go. And then he's beholden Jehovah. He's in a spot. The Assyrian army, the largest empire of his time, is coming for him. And he lays it all out. He goes before Jehovah and lays it all out. And Jehovah says, not one arrow will cross on the other side. I'm going to take care of it. Because why? Because he trusted and relied on Yah and his word. He trusted and relied on Yah and his word. But when you read about these other four kings' accounts, when Isaiah is going through there, every one of them depended on their self, their own thoughts, or tried to gather up with another army. And so we'll get into it a little bit later, but we're going to start with our text tonight. But I'm just going to read this before I get into our text. Because throughout Isaiah, they're always gathering somebody else for power and hurting and murdering and using weapons of war. And then it kind of reflects on today. It's the same thing with the nations. Everybody's siding with this one and siding with that one and weapons of war, murdering and killing people. But Jehovah, he tells Isaiah, he says, and he tells Ahaz, he says, this is my pick. This is the best pick that I'm going to choose. I'm going to send my son. And he's not going to come with weapons of war. He's not going to be murdering. He's not going to be cheating and bribing people. He's not going to do none of that. He's just going to come on my word. And if you think about it, when he comes with his word, it was in Isaiah 11, 4 and 5. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and shall decide with straightness for the meek ones of the earth. Just the words of his mouth is going to destroy the Antichrist. Just his words. He's not coming with weapons of war, murdering and bribing and hurting people like we do in our world today. He's going to come with righteous right ruling. He's going to come with his word. And when the Father speaks his word and plan is done. It's a done thing. His plan is already set. He said, I'm going to send my son, that's my plan. And nobody can thwart it. Nobody can stop it. When he set up the Assyrians, it looked like the Assyrians had built up themselves to come and conquer. But when you read Isaiah's account, Isaiah said, from the word of Yah, he says, I'm the one in charge of the Assyrians. I'm the one controlling them. And they're going to come because I allowed them to come to wipe out all these other nations that have all these other gods set before me. He's allowing it to happen. And the only ones they're not going to conquer and annihilate is the ones who's going to be serving him. And that was Hezekiah at the time. He proved it. He put his life in his hands, into Jehovah's hands, and he wiped out 185,000, not with armies, but with one angel, one messenger. Wiped out 185,000. Sent Sennacherib back, all the way back to Nineveh. He went all the way back to Nineveh. And when he got there, he went to bow down before his gods, and his sons killed him on the altar right there. Wiped him out right there. Everything Jehovah said, this is what's going to happen. Guess what? It happened. Everything he says, and if you don't decide, this is what's going to happen. So going back to Devarim 30, life and death, blessings and curses. You got to choose one. You can't have a mix. He was upset with them when you read Isaiah's account. Chapter 1 and chapter 5, they were all mixed, all paganism, just like today. Have a Christian veneer on the outside, but still do wickedly. He said they do wickedness. And he said to Judah, he said, this was going to happen to you because you don't listen to me. He said, the Syrian army is going to come. They're going to rip your beard off. They're going to shave your legs. Shaving the legs in Hebrew and shaving your beard was humility. Be humiliated. And that's what happened. Shaved their beards, their legs, stripped them, tore them up. There's a lot in there. We'll get into it in a little bit. So it says, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and shall decide with straightness for the meek ones of the earth and shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and slay the wrong just with the breath of his lips. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. And see, just reading this right here doesn't really show you the depth of it until you see the whole history of all the kings and Isaiah and the words of Yah. He's saying what was going to happen, the do's and the don'ts, the ups and downs. Now, Yah had it all planned out, again, through the mouth of Isaiah. Now, in our account right here with Yaakov, Yah's got it all planned out with Yosef. Joseph's his man, he's got it all planned out, and now he gets to where he's down there, he sees his sons come back, And he don't believe him. Yaakov doesn't believe him. And then he says something that really got his attention with the wagons. But that wasn't enough. Because when you get in chapter 46, he's going to Beersheba. Beersheba is where Abraham spoke with Yah. He said, I got to go hear from Yah. This is what I got to do. I got to go hear from Yah. And so Genesis 46:1, he's wanting to trust in Yehovah, not men. And that's what Yah wants. Yah wants us back right here, beholding him, looking up to him for everything. And Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba and slaughtered slaughterings to the Elohim of his father Yitzhak. He's going back and reverting to what his father did, Abraham. We talked about all this, 46:2. And Elohim spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Yaakov, Yaakov. And he said, Chene, here I am. It's the hey and the noon. It's to behold continuously. To behold continuously. In verse 3, and he said, I am the El, Elohim of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Mizraim, for I shall make you there into a great nation. I myself am going down. And it's encouraging to hear that Yehovah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is going to go with you. The one who created everything, this was his plan from the start. Now I got your son down there, and he gives him a word that he remembers of the wagons, in that Hebrew word. I myself am going down with you to Mizraim. Because you got to think about these kings in Isaiah, Ahaz, Hezekiah. They have a lot weighing on them. They have a nation with them. They have all the tribe of Judah with them. Ahaz had all the tribe. Hezekiah had all the tribe of Judah with them. And there's generations there. And you make the wrong move or do the wrong thing, they're gone. The generations are gone. And so here's Yaakov. Everything's weighed on him. Now, we got to pack up and go to Mizraim. I got to make sure with Yehovah. I got to make sure with him first. A lot of times we want to make decisions and plans. We got to make sure with Yehovah first. He's got the better plan. He knows everything. He created us. He brought us here. We're all in this building here tonight because he called us and because we ran into him. Some kind of way, somehow, he set it up, and here we are. From the youngest to the middle to the eldest, we're all on the same plane, and we met up with him, and he is the one that we're relying on. He's got plans set for us right now. And so that's what we're relying on all the way to Sukkot. From here to Sukkot, he's got a plan. We don't know the details. We don't know the hardships like Isaiah went through. People, he said, they're not going to listen to you, but you tell them anyway. They're not going to move when you want them to move. Things are going to happen that I'm going to tell you to tell them, and they're not going to listen. That's going to be the hard part about it, Isaiah. It's going to be tough, but you just do what I'm telling you. That's what's praiseworthy. Just do what I'm telling you. Just listen to me and do what I'm telling you. I got a plan set. I myself am going down to Mizraim with you, and I myself shall certainly bring you up again and let Yosef put his hand on your eyes. And I never understood what that meant till a couple of Shabbats ago, putting the hands on the eyes when someone dies to cover their eyes. This is a plan that's planned out that Yehovah tells him. That's to come. Always continuous, looking way ahead. And they took their livestock, it says, and Yaakov rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel brought their father Yaakov and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to transport him. And they took their livestock and their property which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and came into Mizraim, Yaakov and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed he brought with him to Mizraim. So he's putting all his trust in Yehovah. We've gone through the word Hene. And all of these had to do it by faith. Now, faith in the English term, it doesn't have that great of a meaning. But when you look at emunah, emunah is a verb. It's something that's an action that's being done. It's already being done. When you say faith, they're moving ahead. So when Yaakov is moving ahead, this is emunah. This is faith. He's trusting and believing in God something he hasn't seen. First his boys tell him. Then he goes before Yehovah and Beersheba. He goes before him and he tells him, I'm going to be with you. Now he's not standing before Yah. He doesn't have all of his faith, but he's listening to his voice. And his voice tells him, trust me. And so by faith, emunah, that's how he does that. That's how I'm standing up here speaking tonight, is by emunah, by faith. So I can tell you, all week long, each day, you have your weeping moments, you see incredible things, day two, day three, day four, and then you get to today, you're like, they got so much that you could talk about. I don't even know where to start. My wife says, you do this every time. I'm like, I know. She said, you held some great conversations with me. I even talked to Scott in the morning. I'm like, I don't know. So I had to get there, go over things, and then right at the last, this is where it came. This is how it comes. I'm just, as I go along, I'm just listening and doing what I'm told. So we're going to listen to self and man, or we're going to rely on him, behold him, and listen to him. Hanay, and by faith, emunah, do what he says. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This kind of caught my attention because Pastor talked about many a times about how it says in the Hebrew, die, die. You wouldn't see it in the English, but it talks about die, die. But there's something in this word, eat. Eat. And Yehovah Elohim commanded the man, saying, eat. Eat, achal, eat, achal. It's one time, eat of every tree. No, two times right here. It's achal, achal. Eat of every tree of the garden. Eat, eat, achal, achal. Eat, eat, it's twice. Of every tree of the garden. Eat, eat all you want, all this right here. But this one, but do not eat, achal, one time, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's all it will take is one time to eat from this tree, and you're done. Checkmate, right? You're in trouble. Do not eat from this tree, but eat from any other tree of the garden, but do not, achal, one time, eat a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, 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 die. Eat, eat those, but don't eat one time of that one. Because the day you eat of it, one time, you shall surely die. And boy, wasn't he right. And it's very heartbreaking, heart-wrenching, death happening. So this is a call. Let's look at this a call. Strong's H398. We're looking at history. We're looking at language, and we're looking at context with all this. It's a vessel. I'm going to look at the ancient Hebrew. I got it underlined in the ancient Hebrew. It's the bending or the subduing of the will. It's to tame for the yoke. So when you call, you're bending or subduing to the will whatever you're eating, whatever you're partaking of. A call, this. If you've been to this one, you've been into your own will. You've been to this one, you've been into Yehovah's will. You're under his authority. You're under his instruction. He's taking care of you. He loves you. Everything that you have need of, he has taken care of for you. It's right here. That's a call. Bending the will to him. I'm yoked to Messiah. I'm yoked to Messiah. Here, you've been to your own will. You do whatever you want. You get your own wisdom, your own knowledge, as much as you have or you can retain. But you don't have this one. This one's continuous, forever. But this one, it doesn't last. You only have so much and then you die. This one continues forever. This one only lasts so long. So it's kind of like when you took this one, you got cut off and you can only go so far. And that's it. That's the end of the tape. The tape ends. This one just goes on. I remember a pastor had a rope one time and he said, it goes on and on. Right here, we're right here at the beginning of the rope. But it goes on and on and on and on. Remember that message? It goes on and on and on, continuous. Because in verse 17, that was a conjunction, but. He had a conjunction there, but. And there's a Strong's H6086 there, which is etz. and it's an upright and firmness of the tree. So the tree of life had the will to tame and bent towards Jehovah. His desire mirrored all of the God kind of life of peace, harmony, and family, continued life always. The tree of knowledge of good and evil bends to the will, to self. Our desire turned and bent towards God and evil to do what you want without understanding the danger, the hurt, the pain, the death, and the destruction from one glance, listening and reasoning and touching and tasting. And we go through that every day with these trees. We got to be careful when we look our eyes with something. It's really not worth it. It's going to bring you through a hellish thing that you don't want to go through. But go ahead. You can go ahead and try, but you're going to come up with the same result again. But in this one, stay disciplined, stay trained up in it, and it'll take care of you. Always, always bringing peace and harmony. Sometimes you don't understand when you're going through the discipline. But in the end, it brings a peace like you just can't explain. And I talked about Deuteronomy 30. I always like to go there. I present to you life or death, blessing and curses. Now, we talked about Hezekiah, and we talked about Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, the empire of that time that was coming. In Isaiah 10:6, this just lets you know how El Shaddai is in control of everything, whether we decide to be on board or not. At that time, you just decide to be on board and do what he says, you are protected and okay. But if you don't decide and go to mix with the other things, you're in a lot of trouble. But he foretold of it, about the Assyrian army, that King Sennacherib, he was the most powerful army at that time. And it was God's proving his point for obedience or rebellion to his perfect standards. It was an obedience or rebellion. So every bad thing that a person does has got a cause and effect that's coming for it. It's like, oh, here it comes. And you repent. You get in right standings. It cuts it off. Maybe you might have some consequences because you went ahead and did it. But if you cut it off, like we was talking about the other night, once you speak it and it left your mouth, oh, you better fix it right away. Or you could just say, oh, I could care less. It's going to get worse and worse, and it's coming for you. The bad stuff's coming for you. And it's just, that's just the way the Father set it up to keep everything in order. In Isaiah 10:6, against a defiled nation, who sends him? I send him. And against the people of my wrath, I command him to seize the spoil, to take the prey, to tread them down like the mud of the streets. He's the one in charge. Rather, Sennacherib knew it or not, all that he was doing building his empire, Yehovah was allowing it because he was in control of it. Yehovah's in control of everything. When you read these stories, it's not like, oh man, I hope we're going to win this one or not. Well, if you already know the answer, you're going to win. You ought to be in high spirits looking up to Yehovah. If you're partaking in all the feast days and showing up on time and doing this and showing, you're going to be ready and prepared for what he says to come. Isaiah foretold the Assyrians that he would wipe out all the nations that served the other Elohims and then send an angel, one angel, to wipe out 185,000 Assyrians. And Hezekiah bowed down to Yehovah and presented his case. He said, this is the case I have before me. Go to 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. This is Hezekiah's prayer. This is what he laid before Yehovah. He's in a spot. He's got all of Judah. He's put everything back in order like it's supposed to be. And now he's in trouble for it because he put God's stuff back in order. How many feel pressure sometimes because you're like, man, I put everything in order, I'm doing everything right now. It's like everything's coming against me now. Well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to come against you. It came against him. So you rely on the Father and he's going to take care of it. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to rely on him. He wants to put our full trust in him. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. That's what it was from the beginning. Because later on we're going to read where he tells Ahaz, he's in a spot. Ephraim, the northern tribe of Israel, has sided up with Syria. And they're coming to take over because they need Judah to side with them to come against Assyria, because Assyria is coming for them. Everybody's in trouble. So everybody wants to side with one another to try and keep themselves bigger than Assyria. And Ahaz wouldn't go for it. He says, I'm not joining with y'all. So he went against them. And so they went against him and they didn't win. And so they're coming again. And Ahaz, he's told by the father, he says, I'll take care of the whole situation. I got it all. Just ask me. Ask me. I'm the God of all the heavens and the earth. Ask me anything. Ask me something high. Ask me to send fire down from heaven. Ask me anything. That's what he was basically telling him. Ask me anything. And Ahaz is like, and he pulls the scripture out of Deuteronomy. You know, I shouldn't really put the Lord, the God, to test. He's like, are you kidding me? Really? He just pulls the script. What he was doing, he was hem-hawing around because really in his mind, he didn't want to trust in Yah. Because why? They're doing sinful things. When you're doing sinful things, you don't like being around Yah because it convicts you. It brings a light on you. So Ahaz is being convicted of some things. It sounds good, but he's already got his mind on. He wants to side with Assyria. And that's what he did. He sold everything out of the temple to side with Assyria. But Jehovah says, I wouldn't do that. Assyria's not your friend. They're not coming to take bribes. Oh, they're going to take the monies and stuff. But after they take it, they're coming to conquer. That's their whole goal, is to conquer nations. They don't want your money. They don't want your women. They want to wipe you out. They want to annihilate you. We're a superpower. And that's how Sennacherib was. He's coming to wipe them out. But Ahab, Ahaz. That's what he says. It's crazy how he picked that. And Yehovah was like, look at this. And I had it all planned out already. But Hezekiah, his son, didn't do that. He sought Yehovah. So here's Hezekiah's prayer. And Hezekiah, starting with verse 14, 2 Kings 19, 14. And Hezekiah received the letters from the hand of the messengers and read them and went up to the house of Yehovah. And Hezekiah spread it before Yehovah. They're coming against me. Here they come. They're coming. And Hezekiah prayed before Yehovah and said, O Yehovah, Elohim of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are Elohim, you alone, of all the reigns of the earth, you have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Yehovah, and hear. Open your ears, O Yehovah, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living Elohim. Truly, Yehovah, the sovereigns of Assyria have laid waste the nations in their lands. And you think God don't know about this? He knew about this. He's listening to him. But he's letting him go ahead and tell him. And have put their mighty ones into the fire, for they were not mighty ones, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, and destroyed them. And now, O Yehovah Elohim, I pray, save us from his hand, so that all the reigns of the earth know that you are Yehovah Elohim and you alone. And Isaiah was sent to him and says, not one arrow will cross the wall, not one. And I'm gonna take care of all of them. He tells the whole story of how he's going to take care of them. We talked about that two Wednesdays ago. Now we'll go to Isaiah chapter 6. And you think about Isaiah, when he's at this spot, when he's at a young age, and then you're thinking about, when you read about Hezekiah, you read about Ahaz, and you read about what's going on with Ephraim, separated, and Syria, separated from Judah, and all the wars going on. Isaiah's in the middle of all this. He's a mouthpiece for Yehovah. He's going through the ups and downs when they get taken, captive, when all these things are happening. He's going through all this. But this is at his young age when he first comes into the temple in chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that sovereign Isaiah died, I saw Yehovah sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the heckle, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, set apart, holy, holy, kadosh, 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 is Yehovah of hosts. All of the earth is filled with his esteem. Now, Isaiah's looking at this, and he sees not just the temple with his robe, but he's also, the whole earth is full of his glory, filled with his glory, his esteem, his kavod, his esteem. The whole earth is full. He's like, the whole, this is how big he is. Now he sees how small he is in comparison to how big Yah is. And now that Yah is there before him, what happens when the presence of Yah enters the building? You know, whenever you get around somebody that's not serving Yah, they get kind of uneasy when you're speaking and when you're around them, because sin doesn't like to be around God. So here he is, all of a sudden, now he feels this conviction. I'm a man with unclean lips. I'm a man with unclean lips, and I'm a midst of a people, and I'm telling you, they're all crooked, just as bad as me. We have unclean lips. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe to me, woe to me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the sovereign Yehovah of hosts. Mm-hmm. Now he's got a picture that not he got from Pastor so-and-so, not that he got from one of his prophet friends like Jeremiah. This is something that he got for himself. This is something that Jacob got for himself. It's got to be your faith. It's got to be my faith. It's got to be my encounter. It's got to be your encounter with him. Because when he had that encounter with him, it changed his life. And then he had to take, let's finish reading. It says, and one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the slaughter place. This is the slaughter place where the animals were sacrificed, the ashes and the coal. So he takes it. And he touched it to my mouth with it, and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your crookedness is taken away, and your sin is covered. Now this is where the grace comes in. For us as Yeshua, we come before Yeshua, and we say, hey, I'm so undone. I'm a man with unclean lips. He says, that's all right. I paid the price for you. Now you're clean. Let's have a reset. Whatever you've done wrong, it could be the worst of the worst. It could be something small. Here's a reset. Here's the grace. I've cleansed you from all your unrighteousness. Now here's the reset. See, this says, touch your lips. Your crookedness is taken away and your sin is covered. Now that you're clean, now comes the next part. Here comes the chene. Here I am, right? When we come to the altar and we felt that draw that time, when I came to the altar and I felt that draw, he drew you, your grace, clean, washed. Now you got to call. You got to answer the call. It says, and I heard the voice of Yehovah saying, whom do I send and whom will go for us? Here's his invitation. It's an invitation. This is an invitation to Isaiah. And I said, Chene, here I am, send me. Basically, he says, I'm ready now. I'm ready to go do it. Say whatever you want me to say. Do whatever you want me to do. I'm yours. Basically, what we're all supposed to do, I'm going to die to my life, and I'm going to give you my life now. And I'm going to do what you call me to do. That's basically what we do. When we're having trouble, Pastor said something the other day that stuck to me. He said, you know when you get in trouble? When you have your me time. That's the times when I get in trouble. I could be going through my week while I'm studying, and I'm doing good. And all of a sudden, I'm looking on Facebook, and I start scrolling down, and he rang my bell. He said, me time? I'm like, that's where you're going to go in error. So I had to switch over and go to a scripture and continue on. And it's not hard. You just, when he convicts you, you got to shift. So I had to shift. So I had to keep making sure I spend that time. And you know, Pastor mentioned that he's been listening to a lot of the Bible through, that's where I got a lot of this one from. It's called Isaiah. It's called Echoes of the Bible. You got to go look at these. I looked at Isaiah, Echoes of the Bible. Go listen to that one. I listened to it 3 or 4 times already, over and over again. And I would compare it to the scriptures. Now, when you get to the end of it, the guy starts kind of mixing God and Jesus a little bit. You got to eat the hay and spit out the briars. You got to grab the most important things out of this about Isaiah's account. And it's incredible how he goes through the story. And he gives you great detail. I don't know about you, but I retain more when I listen to these. And then when I go and read it. Because a lot of times you read and they got a lot of names and things in there that kind of offset you. But when you hear somebody else telling it to you, and then you go back and read it, then you look up these Hebrew words and names. There's names in there that are so important. There's one guy's name. It's Isaiah's son. Isaiah had a son. And he had to go talk to Ahaz when Ahaz was checking out all the water, making sure that they had a water supply. Because when the enemy comes, they cut off the water from the outside. You have no water source on the inside, so it'll drive you out if you don't have any water. You starve and die of thirst. So he brings to Ahaz a word. And when he brings his son. And his son's name, I think, is Yeshub or something like that. And Yeshub is a remnant will remain. A remnant. So when you say somebody's name in Hebrew, it meant something. So when the people would say Isaiah's name, a remnant will be saved. A remnant will be saved. Every time they would say his name. That's why when you say Jesus, it doesn't really mean anything. But when you say Yehoshua,